Praise again for the worship experience that has been going on so far this morning. So good to see so many of you out today. This has been sitting on me for a couple of weeks. This sermon has been sitting on my heart, and I'm kind of excited about getting it out. The video that we just saw was dramatic, but it was a telltale moment of the presence of God showing up when people needed him the most. So you saw in the different hotels room, and those of you who are older, you know, when you go to certain establishments, you go to certain hotels, when you open up the drawer, you see what? You see the Bible. Amen. And it showed that in each part of the person's encounter with a decision, whether it was something financial, it was the stress of the household, or whether somebody was about to make a decision that was going to affect her and her marriage, the presence of God was there. Amen? And can somebody testify to that this morning, that at the intersection of me making a bad decision, God has always been there to show up at my greatest point of need? And listen, that shout, that clap is good. But I really believe God is pressing us to this place of more. That I'm glad I'm able to meet you at the place of despair, but I really want to abide with you in my fullness. Like, I don't always want to be there, as the saints would say, when you're climbing up the rough side of the mountain. But I want to embody you in every part of me, so much so that the scripture that we read, so that when my glory shows up, things can't happen the same anymore. So this morning, the simple title this morning is, I want more. Let the church say, I want more. Now listen, the second part, don't say it if you don't mean it, because those of us who know God know, when we say certain things, he shows up in a very peculiar way. God, I want some more courage. Oh, is that right? God, I want some more love. Oh, let me send somebody that's insufferable. So this one is deep. And it's only if you believe it. Say, I want more of God. One more time. I want more. I hear the baby saying it. Amen. Of God. Let's go to our scripture today. It's 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verses 1 to 3. That's the first part, and it says this. When Solomon finished praying, fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the temple. The priests could not enter the temple of the Lord because the glory of the Lord filled it. When all the Israelites saw the fire coming down and the glory of the Lord above the temple, they knelt on the pavement with their faces to the ground. And they worshiped and gave thanks to the Lord, saying, he is good. His love endures forever. So if I'm starting off this sermonic moment, this talk with you this morning, if I want more, the first thing I have to have is a relationship. Let the church say relationship. Normally in the preaching moment, those who have been church for a little while, normally we'll bring in a relationship with Jesus kicking and screaming at the end. We kick and scream. We're not kick and scream. It's allegory. In the Baptist tradition, it's called what's called hooping. Or we get to the climax of the sermon, we do that kind of stuff. We talk about the relationship with Jesus and getting right with God. But in order for this text to happen, in order for Solomon to experience this and for the Spirit of God to come down, Solomon has to have a relationship with God first. So if I'm saying I want more of God, then my question to us and to myself is, what does your relationship with God look like? First of all, do you have a relationship with God? And I want to bring it on the back end and get you in the place of emotionalism and try to get your feelings on and judder to come and run down here crying and give your life to Christ. Ask yourself the stark question, is Jesus my Lord and Savior? And if it's not, I can't have more unless I have him. And then more also means I just can't stop at salvation when it comes to my relationship. Some of us have a relationship, but it's not a more relationship. We have a house, but we only put fire insurance on the house. The seasoned saint said, okay, don't go there this morning. Meaning, I have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ, but it's only surrounded with saving me from the wrath of God. But I don't press in more to have the more of God show up in my life every single day. So if I have more, and if I'm talking about relationships, when we have relationships, there are certain guidelines that you can follow. So if I'm in a relationship with somebody or I'm in a relationship with Christ, ooh, my characteristics are going to change. If I'm in a relationship with Christ, that means I need to be becoming more and more and more like Jesus. The songwriter used to say, things I used to do, I don't do no more. Or things I used to say, I don't say as much. And then, are you interested in what Jesus is interested in? If I have a relationship with Jesus, Solomon had a relationship with God through his father and through his own relationship. How do I know Solomon had a relationship with God and Jesus didn't show up? Because Solomon had a conversation with God. God showed up at his doorstep and said, hey, bro, what you need? He said, give me some wisdom. He had a relationship. So what are my interests and what are my characteristics? And if I have a relationship, people know this. If you're in a relationship, that means you need to apologize and you need to forgive. If you're in a relationship, and you I didn't say you need to apologize to humans. When was the last time you told God, I'm sorry? When was the last time you asked for forgiveness or gave forgiveness to someone else? If I have a relationship with God, am I have a willingness to learn and be different? Because God's people are called to be peculiar. So I can't have a relationship with him and have more of him if I'm acting like everybody else. If I have a relationship with God, ooh, then I have to have assertive communication. That means I need to be active in telling him what I want and active in hearing what he wants from me. When was the last time you prayed and listened? When was the last time you prayed effectively? I didn't say cry out for him to change what you knew you shouldn't have been doing in the first place. But when was the last time you prayed what the word says that you should pray and then stepped back and had him talk to you? Since I want more, I got to have a relationship. Let the church say relationship. Then if I want more, I have to be given vision. In order for Solomon to build the temple band, he had to have a vision given by God about what should be done. Dreams are great, but dreams are unplanned. Dreams are uncharted. Visions are particular according to the season that God has you in. When was the last time, since we said we want more of him, that we asked God, God, what is your vision for my life? God, what is your vision for my finances? God, what is your vision for my relationship? God, what is your vision for me since you have me at this job? What do you want me to do while I'm here? I can't expect to have more of him if I don't have the vision that he wants me to fulfill in the earth. And then if I move from relationship to vision, then we have something called provision. Let the church say provision. Now, provision means the act of providing or supplying something for use. Provision meaning moving the vision forward. So we're reading in the text, and I didn't even get to the juicy part yet. So Solomon is building the temple. Please stay awake, stay with. I promise you're going to get blessed by this today. Solomon is building the temple. The question is, how does Solomon get the money to build the temple? Solomon gets the money to build the temple from a man who does not know God. You missed it. Solomon gets the money from the temple from somebody that doesn't go to resurgence. Solomon gets the money to build the temple from somebody that does not have the same political views. Solomon gets the money to build the temple from somebody that he does not see eye to eye with, but God used this person to give provision to the vision about what God wanted him to do in his life. What I want to set some Christians free in here is this. God may send King Haram to bless you, and King Haram may not go to church. Don't cut off your provision because it doesn't line up with your ideologies of how it should come. Because when the person giving the provision watches you, that's how they will see God. Somebody say, I want more of God. Then let's talk about obedience and activity. So in order for the temple to be built, Solomon had to follow some specific rules. And Solomon had to be active. What happens is, Brother Kenyon, when we get the relationship and we get the vision, we stop there. Because it's fun. I seen it. Oh, I see it. Oh, God, I saw glory. I see it. Hey, I'm going to walk in my new season. And then, listen, we get real comfortable when the provision shows up. Right. Oh, God bless me with this so I can get, oh, hey, glory be to God. And we get tongues all of a sudden. Hey, Shabbat, we got a little bit of cash. But the text says he had to be obedient and active. That means after relationship, after vision, after provision, then I just can't sit on what God gave me. Ooh, get in trouble. I was talking to Brother Kayeen this week, and Brother Kayeen shared with me, they just released a musical project. And he said, Pastor, it felt so good to release what God put in me in the earth. Because I got it out of me. Because he was obedient to the activity. Some of us get the vision and we sit. Some of us get the provision and we sit. Or once we get the provision and we do activity, it's not the activity that God called us to do and we ain't obedient. We in order for the temple to honor God after King Hiram gave him what he needed, Solomon had to make sure everything was cut a specific way. The gold had to be laid a specific way. The curtains had to be laid a specific way. The archway had to be done a specific way. And if it wasn't done that specific way, God was not pleased. It's like this. My mom's here, but if I'm honest, my dad is the one that taught me how to cook. Fred Hicks taught me how to cook. I love you. You taught me the school stuff. But Fred taught me the cooking stuff. Fred brought me in about junior high school. Like, all right, boy, listen. I'm tired of cooking. He literally said, I'm tired of cooking for grown folks. All right, here's a chicken. This is how you season it. This is how you gut it out. You preheat it. This is what you put in. This is how much water you put in it. This is the foil you put on top of it. After it reaches a certain time, take the foil off so it can brown. Boom. I need my dinner 3 days a week. Fred taught me how to cook. Fred taught me how to cook ribs. Don't play with me. Taught me how to cook chicken. Fred taught me how to cook meatloaf. Fred taught me how to cook breakfast. Because Sunday mornings, my dad's a pastor. Sunday mornings, the expectation was, hey, boy, you ain't paying no rent. So when I wake up, what did it say? The best part of waking up is Folgers? No, the best part of waking up is knowing my son is making me breakfast. Now, if things taste bad because of the food I made, it's not Fred's fault. If things taste bad, it's because I wasn't obedient to the recipe that Fred gave me. And many of us are upset with the meal that we've been cooking, saying we want more of God, but we aren't following the recipe that God gave us. And I can't blame God when my ribs don't turn out right. I can't blame God when my food, I can't blame God when my family's, I can't blame God when the job is not doing what I think it should be doing. When he gave me the specifics and I decided to adjudicate his will and put something extra on it. I can't, I like that. Brother Kenya, I said you're doing too much. I can't say I want more of God and I'm not being obedient and active. If you lead that, give God some praise. So we got relationship. The church say relationship. So we have vision. The church say vision. We have provision. Let the church say provision. We have obedience and activity. Let the church say obedience and activity. Then we have prayer and dedication. So before the Spirit of the Lord shows up, Solomon prays with the people out front of the temple. Solomon prays that the temple will be a place where the people of God can gather. Solomon prays that those who are foreigners would come to know who God is at this temple. Solomon prays that if we run astray, that God will still redeem us after he deals with us at this temple. And then Solomon dedicates what he was allowed to build back to God. A lot of us have a relationship. A lot of us have vision. A lot of us have provision. A lot of us have obedience and activity. But when was the last time you dedicated it back to him? This is not a sermon to make you scared. This is a sermon to make you think. When we dedicate children, and it's tough for me being a girl dad and a boy dad, but I got to keep in mind that they don't belong to me. He sent them here for me to be what the Bible calls a steward of them. And when they get dedicated, that means, God, I'm giving them back to you so I can guide them in their life back to you. But it's easy when it comes to children. But man of God, woman of God who are watching me today, when was the last time you dedicated it back to him? He gave you the job. Did you pray and give it back to him? He gave you the relationship. Did you pray and give it back to him? He gave you the increase, and now that it's doing good, did you stop and pray and give it back to him? Did you take the time to say, God, I understand that it wasn't mine in the first place, and because of your love for me, I was allowed to produce it. And since it's being produced, let me make sure I give it back to you. Because if I want more of you, that I have to understand you are the air I breathe. If I want more of you, I have to understand it's in you I live and move, I have my being. If I want to have more of you, I need to be praying effectively over that thing that was so precious to me. But if I really, really love you, God, it's better in your hands than it is in mine. And after all of that happens, then the power of God comes down. The text says there's fire and there's a cloud. I tried to search on YouTube for the imagery of it, but I think God in his provision didn't want us to see that. I think he wanted to challenge us in this moment. The fire comes and burns up the sacrifice that's on the altar. Now today, we don't have to do sacrifices. We do have to give a sacrifice of praise. So when Brother Kenyon and the praise team are up here, when they're asking you to clap your hands, it's not for performative purposes. It's because what we're doing is giving God back just a portion of what he gave to us through clasping our hands, stomping our feet, and doing those things. So as the sacrifice is burned up by the presence of God, then it says that the cloud comes in. And when the cloud comes in, hear me, when the cloud comes in, the priests who are doing a good thing can no longer do the good thing, because the presence of God has shown up. The priests who are doing a good thing because they were asking for more of God, now the whole program had to change because the presence of God has shown up. When they were doing the right things and they prayed and everything that we listed happened, when the presence of God showed up, they couldn't do business as usual. And I don't know about you, but I believe that God is calling resurgence to a new level. And I know that's normal church speak, but it's been pressing on me for the past month. Listen, what we do here is good. I love it. We got screens. We got bat signals on the wall. We got towels. We got bands. God is blessing us with a multicultural ministry so that this is not a monochromatic state when we come in here. We can see everybody in here. But God is saying, there's another level that comes to me that I need resurgence to get to. And in order for that to happen, all these things will happen. But how do I know that the presence of God is showing up? Because that means we can't do things as normal. When the presence of God shows up, they won't be able to play. When the presence of God shows up, I won't be able to preach. When the presence of God shows up, it'll be so heavy that whatever religious convictions you may have in this room, you set them aside, because the heaviness is called the kabod of God will be in this room, and you can't help but to fall down and worship him. And listen, I know that's scary. Because this is involuntary thing of God showing up. But we said when we first started talking, I want more of God. And we got to have, listen, I don't know about you, but I'm tired of this glass ceiling of spirituality where I feel like I'm hitting my hand against it. And God, I know you got some more for me. I know you got some more praise. I know there's a time for healing to happen in this room. I'm waiting for this altar to be filled and not for us to beat you up to come down. But the Spirit of God is going to be so heavy in here that we can't help. But let's take it out of church. When the Spirit of God is happening in your life in its fullness, you can't continue to do the same thing even though it's good anymore. If I'm filled with the Spirit of the Lord that means I have to communicate to her differently because I'm filled. If I'm filled with the Spirit of the Lord, that means when I talk to you, it's different because it's filled. When I'm filled with the Spirit of the Lord, I can't even go to my job like I used to because I'm filled. There has to be, the Hawkins put it like this, it's a wonderful change that has come over me. So it's not just in church. We want the Spirit of God to fill us in every aspect of our lives. We're tired of normal. I'm tired of every day. I'm tired of Groundhog Day when it comes to my relationship with God. Get up, pray, go sleep. Get up, do this, because let's come in here. Listen, come in here, watch the countdown, do this, No. No. He put us in this dispensation for a reason. When I tell people we're having church in a movie tavern, you know how people's faces light up? I mean, church folk. Really? What y'all doing over there? Oh, my goodness, all dispensations. Oh, that's great. That means he has a particular call to get plugged in to God and family and service and destiny. And my ask of you today, Resurgence, members, guests, friends, and the one that just shouted right there, is to really want more of God. Truly want more of God. I want it to change, but you don't want it yet because you don't want more of him, because more of him means you can't do business like you used to do business. If you believe that, give God some praise. I'm almost done. So then, last part is, more of him means more from me. More of him means more from me. This text says this, starting with verse 11, says, when Solomon had finished the temple of the Lord in the royal palace and had succeeded in carrying out all he had in mind doing the temple of the Lord in his own palace, the Lord appeared to him at night and said, I've heard your prayer and have chosen this place for myself as a temple for sacrifices. When I shut up the heavens so that there is no rain, or command locusts to devour the land, or send a plague among my people, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. More of him means more for me. So the scene is, God is coming to talk to Solomon again. The first time he comes, Solomon asks for wisdom. God gives it. The second time he shows up, he's coming to say, listen, I heard you. I'm going to answer your prayer. I'm going to show up at this place, and my presence was going to be there. But God is so great. God puts in a fail-safe for humanity. A fail-safe means I put this procedure in here because just in case it don't work out, I'm here to make sure I catch the mistake. So God doesn't say, if you look at the wording, God doesn't say if these things happen. He says when I cause the rain to stop. When I cause the locusts to show up, when I allow trouble to happen to your door, not because it's a test, but because of your behavior. So God loves you enough to make sure that when we collectively move away from his presence, he is faithful to draw us back through some constructive discipline. Amen. Everybody in here has been disciplined. Somebody gave a shout and said, yep. Some of us had a different kind. Amen. That's why I walk with a limp today. No, I'm playing. I'm sorry. Kayin, you laughing too hard over there. But God says, I know that collectively man is tempted to fall. So since you said you want more of me, let me make sure that we can stay in right relationship. So God says this, when that happens, there's a couple of things I want you to do. I want you to humble yourselves. If I have more of him, that means I'm able to admit when I have offended God. That not what the world says, but I have such a relationship, we started off with that God, I know what I did offended you, and that's why this is happening. Number two, it says pray. So now I'm having a conversation to God, not to inform God of anything, because if I have to tell God about it, then God isn't God. But I have a relationship with him, so I make sure I'm relaying because I love him and he loves me. Listen, let's have a talk about it because I know I messed up. Then I have to do two things, seek and turn. Seek means this, I'm not just talking, but I'm taking active regard of wanting the presence of God again in my life. And finally, turning means I'm not repeating the activity again, I'm turning away from it. Oftentimes, when we say we want more of God, we ask for forgiveness, but we don't turn. Forgiveness says, I'm sorry. Repentance says, I'm not repeating the behavior. Forgiveness says, I'm sorry, but I might get a detention later on this week. Repentance says, I'm not going to do it again. I'm going to change my seat in the classroom. Many of us won't get to this point because we are afraid and ashamed when we mess up. The hardest thing for a child to do is come to their parents to ask them for forgiveness. Because the children believe that that's the worst thing that they can do because they believe they've let their parents down. What the parents understand is that on the other side of that ask is the open arms of a loving parent that already knew you messed up and that's willing to welcome you back again. Is there a shout in the building that understands that on the other side of my mess up was the loving arms of us? Listen, after you made the worst mistake of your life and everybody else stopped answering your calls, God was still there. Jesus was still present. The Holy Ghost was still comforting you. Come on, there's a deeper praise in here. Come on, there is a shouting here of that happening. If I want more, that means I got to follow this process when we collectively mess up. But I didn't put this inside the preaching moment. Antoine, you can come in with some music because I'm about to close this out. There's a portion at the end where God has a unique talk with Solomon. God tells Solomon, after all I just said, if you decide to put an idol in my place, we're going to have some problems. You asked for more of me. You asked me to show up, and I did. You asked for my presence to fill this place so much so that your priest cannot minister. Solomon, I'm coming to talk to you one-on-one. But if you decide to put an idol in the place of me, we're going to have some problems. Put it like this. I love everybody here in Resurgence. But if my children call somebody else dad, I'm going to call Mr. Dupree, and we're going to take y'all to the back to have a talk. Because that title is reserved for me. And I don't want my children putting somebody else in the place that is reserved for the Father. And what I'm trying to tell us today, that since we said we want more of who, we cannot take him off the throne and put an idol there. He didn't say if you mess up. He didn't say if you stray. But if you have decided to put something in the place of God, and the normal stuff, sex, drugs, rock and roll, I'm not talking about that. Your job can be your idol. Your leisure activity can end up being your idol. Your drama can be your idol. Where you worry about that thing more than you are spending time with God. You have no praise. You have nothing to give God glory about? It's that bad that you have put it, the sickness is now on the altar? The political landscape is your idol? God says, if you want more of me, then keep me where I belong. Keep me in the place of being your heavenly Father. Because I want to show up. I want to change things around. I don't want things normal in your life. I want to do the miraculous. I want to have a crazy experience with you so that people will come to know who I am through you. But that can't happen if you remove me from where I belong. And is there a witness in the house this morning that would give God some praise? Listen. What's the songwriter say? I searched all over. Come on. There's quite a few of us that got a search history of different things. I tried this one, tried this one, tried this one, tried this one. But there is no one greater than the God we serve. There is no Savior greater than Jesus the Christ. There is no Comforter greater than the Holy Spirit. Repeat after me, I want more of God. I want more of God. Last time, and just listen, mean it. I want more of God. As we stand to our feet and prepare our hearts for communion, let's give God a hand of praise this morning. I want more. If we can do that, but what was the second song? This is how I fight my battles. Yeah, that'll work. That'll work. So as we stand and we prepare, can I pause for real quick before we go to the communion moment? Everybody have their sacraments with them? Everybody got their stuff? It's fresh. But I do want to put out this edict today that, yes, if you want to come into the life of the church, you can come meet us at the contact center. But I'm going to press us more to have the moment of you coming down, because some folks are waiting for me to ask. Waiting. I didn't know the invitation was. So here is the invitation to you to have more of God. We started off by saying more of God looks like having a relationship. So when I first started talking, if you know that you don't have a relationship to God through Jesus Christ and you're in here, don't leave without meeting us so we can walk you through what it means to be what we call saved. Can we give God some praise? Saved, not from the devil, but from the wrath of God, saved from not having a relationship with the Lord. And if that's you, I'm glad somebody gave. Yeah, this is the time to praise him. This is the time to lift him up, because there are people in here that I know you don't know him yet. And I'm courageous enough this morning to say, listen, don't leave here the same. Don't leave here questioning. Don't leave here wondering. Don't leave here thinking, I'm going to get back next week. It's so many instances where I've gotten phone calls say, hey, such and such is gone. What you mean? You're younger than me. Don't wait. Don't play around with it. What if somebody gonna find out I'm not saved? So everybody had to take that walk. That's fine. And is there a shout in the building that we're better that we came down and said, yeah, I made Jesus my choice. Is there one? Well, listen, we'll wait on you for a couple of moments, and we're going to go on with communion. But find the Spirit of the living God. I'm making a moment to make sure we extend the invitation. I'm not worried about I'm just worrying about you knowing and having a relationship to God through Jesus Christ. One more time. All right, let's take out our communion sacraments. Our wafers. Y'all can get on and sing it. Y'all can go ahead and do it. Yeah, we fight our battles through our relationship. Come on, y'all. This is how I fight my battle. One more time. This is how, this is how. It may look like, it may look, it may look, it may look. It may look like I'm surrounded by. It may look like I'm. That should be your praise this morning, this week. It may look like, while you're cooking that turkey. It may look like I'm surrounded by. Just in case it get burnt.
It may look like I'm surrounded by.
If somebody bring pumpkin pie, it may look like. If there's raisins in it, hey, this is how, this is how.
This is how I fight my battle.
On the night he was betrayed, he took the bread, he blessed it, he prayed over it, and he broke it and said, take, eat. This is my body which has been broken for you. Let us eat. Then he took the cup. This is an example of my shed blood, Jesus said. Shed for the remission of your sins. Let us drink. Let me give to God some praise this morning. Amen. Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. Let's praise him, let's praise him, let's praise him. You can have a seat. Listen, we're about to let y'all go. Just give us 2 more minutes. Come on up here. Come on. You blessed with your resurgence black hoodie on today. So we have one more video. We got one more video. Don't put on that coat yet. Don't you do it. You better come on and relax. Relax. We got one more video.
And this thank you is for all of you. Resurgence family, we are so glad that you decided to come to this church. We love seeing your smiling faces each and every week. And we're so blessed by the stories that we hear about how you're blessed by this ministry.
Yeah.
And we're just glad that you're a blessing to us as much as we are being a blessing to you.
And those of you who are here for the first time, listen, we really believe that God has you on assignment to be here this morning.
Yeah.
It's not by accident that somebody invited you. It's not by accident that you've been thinking about coming through or you're here today. So we bless God for the seat that you're sitting in, for the towel that you're waving, and we know this won't be your last time, but even you visiting is a blessing to us, and we're here to celebrate your visitation today. So thank you, Resurgence. Thank you, Resurgence family, the regulars, and our new people today. God bless you. We love you. We can't wait to see you again.
God Come bless. On, wave them towels one more time. Resurgence rally. So listen. We're about to let y'all go. We got a couple more.
Why is it so low? Turn it up.
All right. Look, got more movement on that than we did the songs of God. I see we shaking for Jesus. So we want to do this, and then we're going to get out of your way. Listen, we want to call up a couple of folks. Families first? Family. We want to call up a family in particular to just be a blessing to them. And we want to call that family is the Fleming family.
Yes.
So the Fleming family, y'all come on now. Let's go. Let's go.
First of all,
Reagan, I can see you with that black shirt on and the hoodie. I see that. Sister Tamika, come on up. You can let somebody else work the screen. Come on down here. Come on. Don't make us. Come on. Let's clap as they come. Reagan, like, oh my gosh, I got to go to work. I got time for this today. I can't stand him. Ugh. Come on up here. Come on.
Come on,
man of God. Man of God, look at that. Look. Come on. Oh, come on in the center. Come on. Right behind the pulpit. Come on. So, these three consistently are here serving.
Yes.
Y'all can clap for that. Consistently here. So even when we are away, they're here.
Yeah.
And we just wanted to just take a moment to thank them. for their sacrifice. Thank them for their time. Listen, whenever we say we're having a Sabbath Sunday, if you ever hear a small cheer, when the Bible says that the Lord spoke to Elijah in a whisper, you ever hear a small cheer? That says it to me. She's like, thank you, Jesus. Because she gives so much.
Reagan right behind.
Thank you. No, hers is louder. She's like, glory. But we just want to take this moment to thank you for your sacrifice to us, for your love towards us. So we have a couple things. I'm going to give this. So I can't say what's in it. Amen. But there's something in it for everybody. Listen, don't let your parents take this and not give you what's in it for you. Amen. Bless God. And for the ladies, we got y'all just a couple of things, a flower. So let's give them one more hand of praise for the Fleming family.
Thank you.